Let's have a bear meeting here.
A one, two. Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
I thought these Arizona Cardinals took control of this game in the second quarter with their run game. Like, they just wore them down right here. This was just way too easy. I'm not sure what the Bears are doing. They beat the Bears right in the trenches.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back into the Mully and Haw Show, along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sportsnet and the Big Pro Football Show, on which you can see Ruthie tonight at 5:30. David Haw, who is regularly in this studio at this time, also part of that program.
Not tonight?
Oh, Haw's got busy. Haw's not
busy.
Here today. It's a straight... He deserves a full day off, if anybody does.
For
it
sure.
Is the Haw who is always juggling something, and I am Mark Grody in for the Mully portion. Hopefully Mully will be back tomorrow. He's been a little bit under the weather. We are, though, joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. And guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. What's going on, Baldy? Good to talk to you, man.
Hello. Good to be with you, everybody, here. Nice to see you there on this little Twitch link or Zoom link, whatever this is.
You are on Twitch 670 via Zoom, I believe. So you got it all right, Baldy.
All right.
Baldy, I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm a big fan of yours. Love listening to you on all these airwaves, including here every week with Mully and Haw. Huge fan of yours. So
thank you.
I guess my first question to you is just kind of, I actually saw you from a distance in D.C. I'm just curious, after kind of witnessing that one in person, do you think that carried it all into Arizona?
I don't think so, Ruth. Look, players and coaches, we live like fruit flies. We live in 7-day life cycles. And I think Arizona's a good team. They don't beat themselves. And they don't turn the ball over. They don't give you extra opportunities. And, you know, if you give them the opportunities for big plays like they did at the end of the first half, I don't know, their safeties were in Las Vegas, and they're blitzing the slot corner, and they just gave DeMarcado all this space, and, you know, they got stung by it. But they've been guilty of doing dumb things like that against Washington. So, I just honestly think they're just a very average football team at this point. You look at their wins, they're all against outside of the Rams, and when they beat the Rams, they were a 2-win team, and they're beating up on the bad teams like Tennessee right now and, you know, like Carolina and Jacksonville. And they see a team that is a pretty good football team and do things really well. They seem to struggle, and that's what I think they did against Arizona. I hope they didn't take them lightly. I mean, anybody that's watched Arizona play the last 2 years, you know this about them. They're very well coached, and they don't beat themselves. And they didn't. And that's what it looked like against Chicago on Sunday.
It's a really bad sign, Brian, if you're saying that the Bears are a very average team, and you said correctly, they did beat up on the bad teams. It's a bad sign because after this week against New England, another bad team, they have Green Bay, Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, on and on and on. Question is, when you look at this roster, do you think that they have the potential to become a good team or a better team? Because they're not going to beat these teams that I just mentioned if they're not a good team.
No, they're not. The offensive line isn't a playoff team right now. I mean, they're playing, they've got the five best they have, but they're not a playoff team by the offensive line. The quarterback is, look, I mean, you have to be more accurate with the football than what Caleb is right now. And the receivers and the offense has to make a lot more sense than it does. And so they're asking these receivers to go win one-on-ones. I saw Max Melton and Garrett Williams and, you know, Thomas, I saw him, like, cover these receivers like it was nobody's business the other day. There's still breakdowns in the passing game. And so, you know, they've lost some really key players on defense. Billings and Montez didn't play. And so the ranks are thin up front. And so James Conner, And that offensive line, they just, you know, they steamrolled them right there. And they seemed a little helpless to stop it. But that's what Detroit is capable of doing. That's what Josh Jacobs can do. That's what the Vikings and Aaron Jones can do. Like, all those teams are capable of doing that right now.
Did you say that the wide receivers are not winning their one-on-one battles right now? Is that on the receivers? Because we're going back and forth here, Baldy, trying to figure out, is it Caleb Williams? Is it the receivers? Is it a lack of chemistry? Right now, is that what you're seeing? The wide receivers are just not getting open enough?
They didn't look like they were open to me. I saw Max Melton, a second-round pick out of Rutgers, have no problem with his receivers that were in front of him. And so, you know, if your receivers aren't getting open, where there's real separation. Now, when they were, I mean, look, Caleb has been off 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So you can find a play here or play there that looks like NFL worthy. But by and large, it doesn't look like an NFL offense right now. It doesn't, like, they don't really help Caleb out with creating space for the receivers or giving them the opportunity to find space. And so if you're just running down the field to try to win their one-on-ones, I don't know. I'd give the win to the Arizona defensive backs in that game last week.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, I'm curious how much of what you were just talking about is on Shane Waldron. Like, what is the identity of this offense right now? And is he doing enough to make it easy on his quarterback?
Well, did Cole Kmet play last week?
You know? No, like, targets. Honestly, like, zero.
Ugh, we just talked about it for 30 minutes.
But I mean, for real, yeah, though, I mean, that's on the offensive coordinator. I mean, yeah. I've seen Travis Kelce in the last 2 weeks get targeted 28 times, and he caught 20 passes for 190 yards and a touchdown. Like, sometimes you just got to go, this is a good player. Like, he's a big guy that catches the ball well. He's, he's a difficult guy to defend because of his size. Like, I honestly asked it after watching the game, go, Cole Kmet was the star, like, last week, the week before, at least in London he was, wherever that game was, like, two touchdowns, and, you know, they called some good plays for him, and he executed. But, like, I don't know, your tight end, if your receivers aren't winning on the outside, your next option is, all right, what's the tight end doing? You know, what are we doing in the screen game? Let's get some completions. And that's on the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to diversify your offense. I kind of get it from Caleb's standpoint, I think, Baldy, because he wants to, and everybody in Chicago forever has wanted to see a consistent down-the-field passing game. And you've got this trio of talented wide receivers. Nobody should be excused for Cole Kmet not getting targeted one single time. And we saw in a 2-touchdown game this year for Cole Kmet how valuable he can be. But part of me, from a rookie quarterback's perspective, I understand what Caleb is trying to do. All of this to say, and I hate to ask this question, and Ruthie brought it up, do the Bears need to simplify the offense for Caleb Williams?
I don't think that's the answer. I do think, though, that there's things they can do to, whether it's bunch formations or man beaters or just the things that other teams do, clear outs and dragging somebody into the opening. I do think there's things they can do where Caleb can drop back, hit his third step or fifth step, get the ball out of his hands. And not like bubble screens and things like that, but like real, like, you know, you watch Josh Allen and you watch what he's doing with Joe Brady. I mean, I can find 10 completions that all of us could probably complete. But it was by the play design that allowed those things to happen. Now, he makes all these plays on his own as well. But, you know, I think that you could help your quarterback out. I mean, I know Cliff Kingsbury does to Jaden. And, you know, he still has a golden touch on the deep ball and does some amazing things with his feet. But you still can see some completions. You go, okay, that's a rookie quarterback can complete that. I can see, you know, Bo Nix. He missed some shots last week against Baltimore, but you can see the completions, you know, start to add up with what Sean Payton's doing. And I thought I was seeing that with Shane and the receivers for a couple of weeks when they had stacked a couple of wins. But that was against bad teams that don't rush the passer particularly well. And so maybe that was a little bit of a disguise right there because of who they went against. But I do think that it's a mix of everything right now. And the quarterback simply doesn't look comfortable. And when he is, like, he knows where he's got to put the ball. But there's still breakdowns. I mean, DJ's running a go route. And, you know, the quarterback's throwing a conversion route. And you just wonder after 9 weeks, why is that even going on?
Yeah. And Baldy, I mean, obviously you have the Patriots this weekend. I think the assumption is that they should win that game. Like you mentioned, that they've been able to beat up on bad teams. But then, you know, we talked about the schedule. I guess, are you surprised that it still looks like this at this point in the season?
Yeah, a little bit. It doesn't, you can't really claim right now that they have an identity. Like they know where the, like, for example, like by 9 weeks, you should go, okay, red zone, this is what we're good at. This is where the ball's going. Third down and three, okay, Keenan Allen on a shake route. Like you can, I don't know what it's designed to do at this point. I can pretty much tell you what the Rams do and what the Eagles do and what Detroit does best and how they're going to move the ball. I can't really say that about Chicago right now.
To the defense, that's what we heard you talking about coming into the segment here, Brian. And you know, you kind of, I mean, it's a rough indictment when, you know, inferring from what you said right there and paraphrasing, is like the Bears defense was out toughed, for lack of better phraseology, going into the game. And please tell me that Montez Sweat not being available that day meant that much to the Bears defense, because if it was all Montez Sweat not being out there, then this Bears defense is not as good as I thought it was.
Well, that's true. That's true. You can never say one player makes that kind of difference. You're dressing eight defensive linemen for a reason. They're going to rotate. There's going to be plays, if Montez was healthy, that he's not going to be out there for 20% of the plays or 25% of the plays. So you can't, that's not a good excuse. Like, to stop the run, honestly, it's just gap integrity. Just go back and remember the glory days of Urlacher and Briggs and how they stopped the run every week, what they did to do it. You know, I mean, it's just run fits. You know, you're supposed to be in your gap. You're in your gap. You hold your gap. I mean, there's just basic mentality right there to stop the run. And they just keep giving up these big explosive runs. Like I said, you know, to give up that run before the half like they did is inexcusable. I honestly don't know what they were doing, why you would blitz on that situation off the slot. Like, I don't know what that was all about. Maybe they thought they were going to throw a short pass to get in field goal range. I don't know. But it regardless, nobody should run that far in that part of the game against any defense. And if you think you're a good defense and you keep giving up these explosive runs like they have to Tony Pollard, you go through the list of all the big ones they've given up so far this year, like, that's a bad sign.
You mentioned Andrew Billings, who's having pectoral surgery. He's going to be out for probably the season. Jaquan Brisker is going to miss another week with the concussion. I guess, how concerned are you about the injuries on the defense that's really was playing lights out up until last week?
I think Billings is going to be hard to, you know, I think he's going to be hard to replace. I know, you know, they've got guys on the roster, but he's a really big, wide body that was hard to move, that was the foundation to, you know, TJ Edwards and the guys making all the tackles that they were. I don't know that they have another player on the roster that can do that. Most teams don't. Most teams don't have, you know, Javon is fine because he's a little more athletic. He can penetrate a little bit better, a little better pass rusher. But honestly, like, they don't really have another anchor like that. And every good defense against the run has a good anchor. The teams that don't play the run well, they're missing that piece. And that's a problem around the league right now.
Brian, last question for you. One thing that we've all been trying to figure out here is, where is the connection specifically between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore? The volume has been low except for one game this year. Is there anything that you've seen in the film room to try to figure out what is going on with those two and their on-field chemistry?
Well, he's clearly frustrated. I mean, you can't walk off the field while the play is going on. You can't do that. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know what he thinks. He's like, I'm not sure who he thinks he is. You know, like, to honestly, your only job, honestly, for receivers, I don't know, honestly, what they do some days, because all they should be doing all day is working to get open. I don't care if it's a Tuesday walkthrough or what it is. Like, your only job is to get open and catch the ball. That's it. If you can add in the blocking game, that helps, you know. But honestly, your job is to get open. And the only way you get open is if you make every route look important. Even if you're on the backside, like, you can't loaf on a screen. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's not allowed. If you run that corner off, that screen might have a chance to go to the house. But if you're just out there lollygagging around, that's not good football. You know, Davante Adams isn't doing that. Like, he's frustrated in New York, but he's not lollygagging out there when he's not getting the ball. That guy's working to get open. That's what the good ones do. He's averaging 10 yards a catch. The one thing you could always say about DJ coming out of Maryland, playing in Carolina, he was excellent after the catch. Like, he was a running back that broke tackles and had breakaway speed.
And he was last year, too. He was great last year, too.
To 10 yards a catch. Like, if that was next to my name and I was DJ Moore, I would be waking up ticked off every day.
Mm. Very interesting. Great stuff, Baldy. We appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed being on Twitch. It seemed like that was a big deal for you. It seemed like you were very excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, Twitch, Zoom, like, whatever we can do to get face-to-face.
I love it,
man. It's great seeing you, Brian. I appreciate your time, as always.
Thanks, Baldy.
Okay. Yep. See you.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. What? You like when I say that?
Is Will Levis coming to town? Isn't he Mr. Mayo?
He is Mr. Mayo.
Yeah.
I just realized, too, that he said lollygag, didn't he?
Yeah, lollygag.
That is DeLulu backwards, isn't it? DeLulu, lollygag. We've been DeLuluing. We've been lollygagging.
Man, that was interesting to hear him so critical of the wide receivers.
Yeah. What is it that they do? What's going on? Like, I guess I didn't watch the film close enough, but, you know, to say that really pinning it on the receivers and not getting open enough and getting enough space. I mean, there's a couple times, though, where in the back of the end zone, like those back-to-back after the 44-yard bomb to Odunze with the defense breaks down for Arizona, then there's the back-to-back passes. And there's some small margin for error to, I believe, Rome and Keenan. And Caleb missed on both of those. So, I'm not going to take on – I mean, that Baldy's breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a breakdown. I mean, he does it better than anybody. But I do still think that there were some accuracy issues for Caleb Williams.
Absolutely.
A little bit more responsibility.
And when they are getting open, which maybe it isn't as frequently as Baldy would like to see, but when they are getting open, Caleb isn't always finding them. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So whether it's inaccuracy or just lack of, you know, kind of being able to find them. Or not taking the easy throw, you know, like trying to do too much. That's where I'm starting to not to very, very, I'm going to whisper it.
Yeah.
Panic.
Ooh, don't do it. Don't say it.
Just a little. Okay. That's why I whispered it.
Give me a prediction here. How many targets do you think Cole Kmet will get this week?
It better be six plus. Six plus targets. And guess what? He's going to catch all six of them.
What if they just completely overcompensate and he gets like 30 targets? Oh, y'all want me to throw the ball to Cole Kmet?
Here's my thing. Who's going to cover Cole Kmet? Right? Like, that's the answer, right? Like, who's on this Patriots team?
Right.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, here's the thing. And then he's good. He's showing that he can be good downfield too.
Yeah. It's throw the ball to Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet. That's right.
It's just really not that hard.
Run the football. Run the football. I'm so conflicted on all of that because I don't want to reduce this team back to all you do is run the football and play conservative. We've had enough of that quarterback management in our lives, but I do understand it. Coming up next here on the Mully and Haw Show, Ruthie Polinsky has a what if that scared me just a little bit, but it's a great what if. From Ruthie Polinsky that we will talk about next here on The Score.
As rookies, you know, coming out as quarterbacks, you spend a lot of time with those guys. You see them, some visits, some at the combine. Really with Caleb, I've seen him since high school. You know, going to the same camps, was at the Elite 11 with each other. We've had some college visits together. So kind of the whole thing, kind of going through the process again. You know, we kept up with each other in college. You know, we were friends and enjoyed watching him do his thing. And now I get a chance to, compete. So, anytime you're going against a rookie quarterback and in the same class, or any quarterback in your class in general, you know, it's a little extra. So looking forward to going out there and getting a chance to, you know, play the Bears.
That is New England Patriots quarterback Drake May, who is a really nice dude. At least that was the impression I got. And having covered the NFL Combine this year, we asked him a bunch of Bears questions, and he said all the nice things. Of course, I love to come to Bears, and they'd be fun and all that kind of stuff.
Is that your Southern accent?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I just remember being real Southern polite. Kind of, yeah. He had like a Gordon Beckham thing going on there. But he is coming off a game against the Tennessee Titans. Titans beat the Patriots 20-17 in overtime. Mr. May was 29 of 41 for 206 yards in the game. He had a touchdown pass and a couple of interceptions and ran for like, eight carries for 95 yards. But Ruthie Polinsky, who is here in place of Mully or Haw, and I'm Mark Rohde in place of Mully or Haw here this morning. And in case you don't know, Ruthie Polinsky works for the Chicago Sports Network, and she'll be doing the big pro football show tonight at 5:30. But you said something to me off air that scared me a little bit earlier. A what if? Do tell, Ruthie.
What if Drake May has a better game than Caleb Williams? Win or lose? Win or lose? Because Caleb Williams was outplayed by Jaden Daniels, taken number 2 overall. Drake May, taken number 3 overall.
Mm-hmm.
What if? I mean, I don't like to stir the pot.
Yeah, you're stirring it up right now,
Ruthie. But I'm stirring it.
Stirring it real good.
I got my witch's cauldron and I am
ghoul
brewing.
Yeah.
No, listen, the Caleb noise is starting, right? You're starting to hear that criticism and maybe just a little bit of doubt about what it looks like. And if Drake May has a great game at Soldier Field, win or lose for Drake May, I just think that can get louder for Caleb.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I will concede. It's right there in front of us. Jaden Daniels has had way better year than Caleb Williams. Washington, obviously, is having a way better year than Caleb Williams, for sure. Now, Drake May has not been anything special so far this year. There's, you know, whatever. Those were desperate numbers that he had.
And he's turning the ball over a lot. And he's playing with a lot less talent. Arguably, you and I could be on the Patriots.
Probably.
No.
Maybe you.
I don't. I don't like to play that game because it's disrespectful. But I. But I.
They're like, thank you. Okay, Ruthie actually thought she was going to be able to play.
I could maybe long snap.
Well, anybody can long snap.
No, not true. Don't disrespect the long snappers.
Cole Kmet already disrespected them by accepting that. He never should have accepted that award.
No, it's amazing. So I just wonder, and Drake May turns the ball over, and that's something Caleb can hang his hat on right now, is that he is taking care of the football. He's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
At taking care of the football.
That's huge.
And that's huge for a rookie, right? Like, he wanted to pride himself in that, and he's doing a good job with it. But Drake May throws a couple of touchdowns. Maybe the Bears struggle offensively, but, you know, defense keeps him in it. Yeah. There's a defensive score. I just wonder what will happen here.
Man, that's such... Yeah, if he, like, has his best game ever and Caleb...
He's not going to have his best game ever.
I don't think so.
Against this defense. This is a hypothetical, everyone. Don't come at me.
No,
I'm just...
Okay.
I just was... You know, it's worth a discussion.
Yeah. Will we be seeing that? Will that come up on TV tonight?
We briefly discussed it last night.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
I have a couple...
I see why am I.
I want to test a couple of analogies here right now that I have for Caleb Williams and what's going on right now, because Jaden Daniels is better right now. I'll say a couple of them. I'm going to give you a Cubs analogy first. This is just what comes to my brain, and you guys could tell me if I'm crazy or ridiculous or whatever, but what I think of is, I think of Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish, and everybody's like, huh? Well, the Cubs, they let Jake Arrieta go, and he thrived with Philadelphia. He was terrific with Philadelphia for like a half of the season, and Yu Darvish was just, in his first year with the Cubs, he was a dud. And then all of a sudden, basically, Arrieta, a fast decline out of him. And we were all like, oh, my God, you got the wrong guy. And we should have kept Arrieta. And then Yu Darvish comes close to, you know, he was second or third in Cy Young voting the next year. And it was a rough go for a year and a half with Yu Darvish. So, like, I just think of those things in my sports brain about eventually the top guy will rise to the top. And then here's my other analogy. It's a music analogy. The band, you know, the band Oasis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oasis, 90s band, and they're getting back together. They had this big rivalry with another band. Was it Blur? I think it was Blur. Oasis and Blur were coming up at the same time in London, Great Britain, and there was this big rivalry between the two. And they both had an album coming out. I hope I'm getting the story right. Both of them had a massive album coming out, and Blur won they outsold Oasis. But then the long game was won by Oasis because mm-hmm. they became, you know, awesome and
right.
historic and all of that. And
right.
I think they're going to be at Soldier Field like next year. In other words, the talent will eventually rise to the top. That's
sure.
what I believe, as painful as this is. I have not backed off on Caleb Williams is going to be great. Even through all of this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot needs to change for him to be great. And I think that starts with building his confidence.
Yeah.
And it's starting to feel like that's taking a little bit of a...
Is it though?
Confidence, like, it's more like a frustration. It's hard not to look at him and say, this guy's frustrated. And that makes a player great, right? You want him to care and be frustrated. But you just don't want his emotions to get the best of him on the field.
No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. And he wants what everybody wants. That's why he's doing what he's doing. And that's what Shane Waldron is, why he is calling the plays he is calling, trying to get the ball down the field to Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, and DJ Moore. I mean, that's what they want. And if in the meantime, in between time, they need to reduce that a little bit, that's acceptable, but ultimately that's what we want to see, is the downfield passing. I'm looking at the phone right now. We have had Jeff waiting for quite some time now. I don't know if Jeff is still there, but Ruthie, why don't we find out right now, because we're running out of time here.
The suspense.
And I don't want Jeff to be left hanging completely. And maybe he won't even be here, but Jeff is supposedly listening on the Odyssey app. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jeff. Jeff, are you there? Are you on the score, Jeff?
Good morning, Groats.
What's
and
up,
Ruthie.
Jeff?
Hi, Jeff.
Where else would I be?
I thought you were going to be mad, Jeff. You sound chipper.
Come on, you guys fill my mornings and my days. Ruthie, quick question for you.
Yeah.
What's your stack choice at Blimpy Burger?
Okay. You're going to I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about here.
So I'm far. Not I haven't been. I know.
You sure you come from you've been to Ann Arbor?
I know. Listen, I'm not really a burger gal.
Hmm.
All right. Here's why I called in.
Okay.
Earlier this week, there's talk about the overtime in regular season, because it seems to be unfair for one team if another team takes 8 minutes to score and they score a touchdown and the other team never gets a chance. I believe I have solved the problem. And since you two know football, we'll throw it at you. All right. You still have a coin flip to determine the possession and then the field direction. Each team gets 5 minutes to score with one timeout, no two-minute warning. Each five-minute session starts with a kickoff. And then if both teams are tied after 5 minutes of play, game ends in a tie. And I think this gives a lot of strategy, because if you win the coin toss, you may take the ball first if the other team had been on defense when you ended the regulation, or you might choose to do what normally do, is defer and see what you have to do. Plus, you're not going to see a punt, because nobody's going to punt in this situation, because if you punt, you're guaranteeing yourself a loss or a tie. And I think it'll be fair, because each team gets 5 minutes with the ball to score, and then if they don't do it in 5 minutes, they don't get any points. The clock runs out for them. But that was my thought on this for overtime. So I will end so you guys can talk about it and then get to transition.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Jeff, wow. Man, you're, by the way, Jeff, you're awesome, man.
Jeff, I'm going to need a report, 10 pages minimum, with a thesis.
Here's what was going through my mind.
What happens if they go 3 and out and have to punt? You know, that's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, or, I don't know.
I was like,
yeah.
What?
I was like, I need a visual. I'm a visual learner.
Yeah.
Listen, call the league. Throw it up. Here's the thing about the overtime rule, real quick, if I may.
Yeah, please, please, because I want no part of that.
You know it's a three-phase game.
It is. That's what they say.
You have to play defense in football, too.
Yeah, but offense, defense, and special teams. What about the fourth phase?
The fans?
Yeah. There are four phases. No, go on.
Yeah.
Tell me,
that's my thing, is like, you have to play defense, too. And you can't, I know it's this league is an offensive league, but you have to play defense to win games. Defense wins championships, baby.
Yeah. But hey, defense is a lot different now than it was, like 20 years ago?
Well,
they
wanted
all this because we talk about the Bears bend but don't break. There's a lot of bend but don't break, and that's not a bad thing in this NFL. And I know scoring is probably down, but with all of the numbers running up, hey, if you could hold a team to a field goal or not, obviously, that's a win. Bend but don't break makes me nervous, and they didn't get away with it last week, obviously, against Arizona. They broke, no doubt, but bend but don't break used to be something that I wouldn't accept, and it was a dirty word to me, but now that's pretty good.
They were
NFL.
Bending in Washington.
Yeah.
They were bending until the last 6 seconds of the game.
Yeah. Oh, man. And boy, they were bending. They break. They are breaking in bad ways.
Just
for sure. What's up with so you went to Michigan, right?
Yeah.
And there's a place, there's a burger place there called what? What's the name of the burger place?
Now I'm feeling old.
Wimpy's?
Because I haven't been there. No. Bumpy Burger.
Bumpy Burger.
Anyways.
Bears Burger? Is it called Bears
Burger?
I'm
a Zingerman's gal, Maize and Blue. These are delis.
Okay.
Zingerman's, Maize and Blue.
All right.
Talk to me about, I got some holes in the wall. I got Jerusalem Garden. I got some great food spots for you. Monty, I have some great food spots for you in Ann Arbor. Anyone, hit me up.
Yeah.
But I'm not really a burger gal.
Okay.
Listen,
you eat meat, right?
I do eat meat,
okay,
but it's hard for me to justify ordering a cheeseburger. Like when you're just like, I have to be cautious about what I'm putting in my body. You know, it's just I'm not really a cheeseburger gal.
Okay.
Growing up, I kept kosher and never mixed meat and milk.
Okay.
So I did start eating meat out of the house in college, but I was still trying to do as much as I could to not mix meat and milk up until now.
Wow.
Which is.
It's a very complicated diet here.
Yeah, it's not that complicated.
No, it's actually not. You know, it's funny because one of my favorite questions used to be to ask people, and you can only say one thing because I think this is the most difficult question in life. What is your favorite food? I don't want to hear the genre of food, the talent. No. What is? And my answer always was, and this goes. I'm the anti-Ruthie here. A really good burger.
Listen, I'm not saying I don't like
a
burger.
You avoid them because they're completely unhealthy.
I can't justify it.
Understood. Right? No, I got to what you're saying.
But listen, if my husband, if he orders a burger, I'm taking a bite.
Yes.
But he doesn't really, But it's not I'm gonna order the burger. That's just not really my personality.
I gotcha. My food like that is the only thing, and I'm not in great shape at the moment, but my food like that I avoid, but then every once in a while I just lose it and I have to have it. I'm good at avoiding it. Mm-hmm. It's fried chicken. I'm good at saying nope, can't. I think about it.
Yeah.
I fantasize about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't do it. But then every once in a while, I'm like, it's over. I'm getting the fried chicken. Because I always feel sick after I eat it.
Of course.
But it's worth it. It's opportunity cost, really. Sure. That's what it's. So Ruthie, if I asked you, what is your favorite food that you don't even have to worry about calories or.
Mac and cheese.
Oh, nice.
Without question. Or ice cream. I love ice cream. I love it.
That's a great answer.
Mac and cheese, though, if there's mac and cheese on a menu, I just need to know what it is.
Very trendy, too.
This could be the best mac and cheese in the world, and I just got to make sure that I'm not missing out.
Yeah.
I love a mac and cheese.
So if you're at a restaurant and they've got small plates of mac and cheese, it's
over. Gotta
get
it.
And then your ice cream, can you narrow it down a little bit? Is there a brand of flavor?
No, I don't discriminate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whatever you get is you're down with.
Yeah. My go-to, like if I'm going to have ice cream in my freezer, which I try to avoid because that's also game over.
Yeah.
You just can't go wrong with a Ben and Jerry's.
You can't.
You can't go wrong.
Right. And bounce around the.
Yeah. Or Grater's. Grater's is chef's kiss.
I don't know if I've had Grater's, but yeah, no, that all sounds good. Yeah. That all sounds delicious. Somebody said on the 785, mac and cheese with brisket.
Someone also said, go back to Michigan.
Aw.
Gladly. Love it there. Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor. I got rejected by Michigan, so I hold the grudge. Yeah.
Well, we are the best.
Yeah, they're like.
Leaders and best.
Hey, they're like, no, you belong. You need to go to a state school, kid.
That is a state school.
No, I'm saying I went to Illinois State.
Oh, in state. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
In state. And I don't regret a minute of my time, but.
Yeah, good.
You guys were way too smart for me. My ACT score was not good enough. So
it's okay.
To cry for help here. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we are going to bring in, we got a hot show coming up here. We've had a lot of hot stuff today. But it's not going to slow down next because it's the Bernstein and Harris show today, minus Dan Bernstein. He is off today. And so it is. You ready for this? Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi.
Layla Thursday.
It's a Layla. She has been busy this week. Tuesday, Wednesday. Bonus Layla today. And we will talk to those two cats next here on The Score.